إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, yani our intention is to just gather, to have some food together, and to enjoy one another's company on the occasion of the completion of the Iman in Al-Qadr, yani the divine pre-decree course that we have been dealing with for the last 18 weeks. And alhamdulillah, last week we finished the last topic dealing with this subject. And what remains only is to answer the questions from the last class. So we're just going to take a few minutes to answer the questions from the last class as a review of what we took in the last subject. And after that, inshallah, we just want to acknowledge those sisters and brothers who participated in the course, especially those who were regular in attendance. So, let's get to the questions. In the previous lecture number 18, we had two questions, question number 154 and question number 155. In question number 154, the Shaykh, he says, what is the response, or how do you answer someone who says, is it possible in the Qudra, the power of Allah, that He make all of His servants, believers, rightly guided and obedient? Is this possible? Does Allah have the power to make all of His servants, all of the human beings, believing, yani obedient, rightly guided servants, since He loves this from them, yani that they be obedient? And He loves that they be believers and that they be rightly guided in His shara, yani what He has legislated in the sharia. So this is the first question. Is this possible? And mention an ayah to support your answer. Is this possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to make all of the people obedient, believing, rightly guided servants? Naam, Ibrahim.
Naam, is possible? Everyone guided and obedient servants.
Naam, it's possible.
When Allah Ta'ala, the Surah Yunus, 99th ayat.
Naam.
Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبَّكَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا.
نعم.
أنت تقرئ الناس حتى يكونوا مؤمنين.
جيد. يعني the brother, he's saying the answer is yes, Allah is able to do this. And from the proofs that Allah is able to do this is what he mentioned in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 99th ayat. ولو شاء ربك, if your Rabb, matter of fact, what is the translation of this?
If your Lord willed, He could have made all of you believers.
نعم. لَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ. If Allah willed, all of the people in the earth, everybody who's in the earth, all of them would have been, He would have made them believers. If Allah willed. And this is one of the proofs that if Allah wanted to, He could do it. And another proof. Now,
Surah Ma'idah,
Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 48th Ayat. Naam. Meaning?
If Allah willed, He could have made you all one nation.
Naam. If Allah had willed, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. If Allah had willed, He would have made you one nation. And other ayats like this, the Shaykh said, and there are many there are many. And from amongst them that's related specifically to this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sajda, لَوْ شِئْنَا لَأَتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That if we had willed, we could have made all of the, given every soul its guidance. If Allah had willed, He could have given every creature that He created its guidance. But that's not what Allah decreed it to be. Na'am, akhi.
No, I was thinking of kun fayakun.
Kun fayakun. Na'am, na'am. If Allah wants something, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا, He just says, be and it is. Na'am. So this is the first part of the answer that the Shaykh has given, that yes, Allah is able to do this, and that there are many ayats in the Quran to prove this. And then he went on to say something further. Does anybody? No.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his promise is going to be true, that He will fill the hellfire and not with jinn and men.
Okay, this is one of the ayahs from the Quran, Surah Sajda, now. And from other places also. But the Shaykh, in his answer, he went on to explain, and we'll just try to be brief so that we get right to the point with it. The Shaykh is saying, the summary of what he's saying is that the questioner who says, is Allah able to do this? He said, the saying of the one who says, why is it from amongst Allah's servants that there are those who are obedient and those who are disobedient? Since Allah loves that His servants obey Him. So why is it that amongst His servants there are those who are obedient and those who are disobedient? He said, the one who says this is like the one who says, why is there from amongst Allah's names? From amongst Allah's names, the what? Ad-dar wal-nafi'. The one who harms and the one who benefits. He harms and he also benefits. Al-Khafid wal-Rafi', the one who brings down and who raises up. Al-Mu'ti wal-Mani', the one who gives and the one who holds back. And to the end of the names that he mentioned. Why is it there from... this question is like this question. Why is it that they are from amongst the servants of Allah, some who are obedient and some who are disobedient? Why is there from amongst the names of Allah that He gives and He withholds, that He benefits and He harms, that He is... the one who raises up and brings down. This is like this. Because the actions of Allah are actually derived from His names and His sifat. They are based upon His names and His sifat. His names necessitate that certain things be His actions. And His characteristics necessitate as a result that certain actions will occur. So some people, based on Allah's perfect knowledge and wisdom and justice, Allah knows that there are some people, if they are invited to the truth, their heart will not be open to it. They will not accept it. They will turn away from it. They will run from it. Their heart will be closed to it. So He doesn't give those people guidance. And He knows that other people, if they are invited to the truth, their heart will be open to it, be inclined to it. Their heart will be expanded towards it. And they will accept it and they will love it and they will be pleased with it. So He gives them guidance. So this is from the perspective of what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does is based upon His perfect knowledge and His wisdom, putting everything in its proper place, and His justice, that He doesn't do injustice to anyone. And finally, the Shaykh, he said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is not questioned about what He does, while the people will be questioned about what they do. Subhanallah. Subhanallahi rabbil arshi amma yasifoon. La يُسْأَلُوا أَمَّا يَفْعَلُوا وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. That subhanallah, Allah is the one who is perfect, who is free of any defect or shortcoming or whatever they ascribe to Him of falsehood. He is above all of that. He is the Rabbul Arsh. And it shows His majesty, His greatness and His glory. And He is the one who is not questioned about whatever He does. He guides whomever He wills based upon His favor. That's a favor from Allah. And He leads astray whomever He wills based upon justice, knowing that these people wouldn't accept the truth that was brought to them. Knowing that these people would not accept the truth, they would not appreciate it. So His guiding of the people, that is a favor from Him. And His misleading the people is justice. It's justice. Because Allah doesn't turn anyone away from the truth until they themselves turn away. And there are so many ayats in the Quran that show, فَلَمَّا أَزَالُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they deviated, then Allah caused their hearts to deviate. As a result of their deviation. And so on to the end of the subject. So the Shaykh, he explained it like this, and he made us to know in the end what? That Allah, whatever He does, is based upon wisdom, it's based upon justice, based upon perfect knowledge. Therefore Allah is not questioned about what He does, but rather the people will be questioned about what they do. The second question that we had last week and that we closed with, the end of this subject, is what is the manzila, the status or rank or position of al-iman bil-qadr? Yani having faith in the divine pre-decree, in the deen of Allah. What is the manzila, what is the status or position or station of al-qadr in the deen of Allah? Naam, Ahmed. Al-Iman bil-Qadr Nizam al-Tawheed. So what is the position of Iman in Qadr? That it is the system of Tawheed. The system of Tawheed. Along with another system, which is the يعني Nizam al-Shar, يعني the Nizam of the Sharia, which is what? Believing in the Asbab, the causes or the means through which a person is able to achieve the Khair of the Qadr of what Allah has decreed. How can you achieve it? By utilizing the means that Allah has legislated. By doing good, doing what is pleasing to Him. Being a believer, following the right guidance, and doing that which is pleasing to Allah. You can achieve the khair of Allah's qadr. And through utilizing those means, you can also protect yourself from the shar, from the evil of Allah's qadr. Yani believing in the qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. The good of it and the evil of it is by Allah's divine pre-decree. But along with that, there's another system. That's Nizam al-Tawheed. And along with that is the second system, Nizam al-Sharia, which is the means through which a person is able to achieve the good of Allah's decree and to protect yourself from the evil of what Allah has decreed. It is by obedience to Allah, by obedience to the Sharia. So these are the two systems that the believer lives with. Nizam al-Tawheed, that is believing in the Qadr and all that it entails. And also complying with the Sharia of what Allah has legislated. Yani obeying His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And then the Shaykh said, so that the Amr al-Din, yani the Islam, this Deen, will not be correct, it will not be upright, it will not be straight, it will not be regulated and organized and orderly, except for the one who believes in the divine pre-decree and complies with the Sharia. These two things have to go together. So what is the place of the Iman bil-Qadr? It is the system of Tawheed, of acknowledging Allah's Tawheed, especially Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, that the station of al-Iman bil-Qadr in the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he said it is that it is a rukn min al-arkan al-Iman al-Sitta. It is one of the pillars, one of the six pillars of Iman. And that from its benefits is that Iman is not completed without it. A person's Iman cannot be complete without believing in the Qadr. And also he said from his benefits is that the Iman in Rububiyyah, in Allah's Rububiyyah, will not be complete without believing in Qadr. Because Qadr is from the Rububiyyah of Allah. Yani from Allah's actions that He decrees and that He executes His decree. That's from Allah's actions. And this is what Rububiyyah deals with. The actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As opposed to Uluhiyyah, which deals with the actions of the created beings. Yani Ubudiyya deals with the actions of human beings, worshiping Allah. Whereas Rububiyya deals with the actions of Allah, that He creates, that He provides, that He gives life and death, that He controls everything in the universe. So this is yani part of what the Shaykh said here. Yani that the status of Al-Iman in Qadr is that it is the Nizam of Tawheed. Yani believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Tawheed, especially His Rububiyya. But along with that, it is a necessity that you accompany with complying with the Nizam of the Sharia, yani the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what He has commanded and what He has prohibited. And after this, we asked some questions to complete this answer. Number one, discuss the result of one who denies the Qadr, claiming that it nullifies the obligation to abide by the Shara, yani the divine legislation. What is the result of one who denies the Qadr? The people who deny the Qadr are who? Huh? The Jabariyya affirmed the Qadr. They said they are compelled. They don't have any choice in the matter. The Qadriyya denied the. The Qadriyya, the people who deny the Qadr. They said human being is independent, does whatever he wills on his own. Allah doesn't control his actions. Naam. So what is the result of the people who denied the Qadr? Who denied it? Naam.
The people who have denied the Qadr, they have made themselves independent in their actions. Therefore, they have tagged along with Allah's Rububiyyah, saying that they are the creators of their actions.
Tayyib.
So they have committed shirk.
They made themselves independent in their actions. Naam.
They have made inoperative Allah's Qudra and knowledge, making it basically seem like,
they have made inoperative. Yani they have yani denied Allah His Qudra, His power, and His ilm, His knowledge of what's going to happen before it happens, and His ability, that nothing will happen except that is subject to Allah's ability. As a result of that, of denying Allah's knowledge and denying Allah's Qudra, then they made the human beings independent in their actions. They made them the creators of their own actions, as opposed to Allah being the creator of the actions. The human being is the creator of his own actions. And this results in what? Making the human being as the creator along with Allah, which is shirk. The people who do this, they fall into shirk. They said that the human being has the power and ability and choice and will to do whatever they want to do, and Allah doesn't have any control over that. Not subject to Allah. And therefore they made the human being the creator of their own actions. And therefore they made them as a creator along with Allah, committing shirk. And the third question was, what is the result of those who affirm al-qadr, to escape from the obligation to abide by the shar, by the sharia? What is the result of the people who affirm qadr? Yani they affirm the qadr, the jabariya. Say the human being is compelled to do what he does. Naam.
They have negated Allah blessing us with a free will. Not a complete free will, but somewhat of a free will.
They have negated the human being's free will,
and the
human being's power to do what he wills.
Power and free will that Allah has given us. And they have accused Allah of zulm by saying they are compelled to do wrong, therefore they're going to get punished for no reason that is against them.
They accuse Allah of committing zulm. Why? Because if the human being doesn't have free will and the power to execute his will, then he's compelled to do what he does, and how can he then be responsible? So they accuse Allah of making the human being responsible for that which they're not capable of doing. They don't have the power and will to choose what they want to do. And accusing Allah of making the human being responsible for what they are not capable of doing is injustice, is accusing Allah of being unjust. How can Allah punish them for their sins if they were compelled to do it? That's injustice. So both of these groups, in their deviation, it led to evil. In one case, it led to setting up a partner with Allah, the human being as creators of their own actions. And in the other case, it led to those who, yani, said that Allah did injustice by making the people responsible for something they have no control over. That they are compelled to do something and then holding them responsible and punishing them for it. This is injustice. And the last question, and then we're going to proceed from here, discuss the position of the true believer concerning Al-Qadr. And what is the correct position of the people of Iman? The true people have correct Iman in reference to Al-Qadr. Now, Rahim.
Praise be to Allah under all circumstances.
They praise Allah in every situation and circumstance, no doubt.
No doubt.
Now, especially they praise Allah, and the Shaykh said, especially they praise Allah if they are guided to do something good. They recognize that it's from Allah. Guidance is from Allah. Now. Now, first and foremost, he said what? That they believe in the Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. The true believers, they believe in the Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. They affirm it. And at the same time, they affirm the Sharia also. And they comply with the Sharia, the commands of Allah and prohibitions. So these two are together. And these are what he referred to in the beginning of his answer, in the first question, Nizam al-Tawheed and Nizam al-Sharia. Yani the true believer, yani makes reconciliation between the two. They are not contradictory. Rather, believing in the Qadr, the good of it and the evil of it, goes along with and is completely compatible with complying with the Sharia and doing what Allah said to do in order to earn the good and avoiding what Allah has prohibited in order to protect yourself from the harm. This is the way of the true believer. That they combine both of them. Believing in the divine decree, believing that Allah in His hands is guidance and misguidance, that He guides whoever He wills by His favor, and He leads astray whomever He wills out of justice, and that His action is based upon what? Perfect wisdom and irrefutable proofs that what He did is right and just and fair. Naam. And at the same time, as the brother alluded to, the Shaykh said in the end of the answer, that when they do some good, they say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَحْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. That we wouldn't be guided if Allah hadn't guided us. We would not be guided if Allah didn't guide us. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي. Well, Allah guides, He's the one who's guided. So the hidayah is from Allah, and the ihtidah, following the guidance, is the action of a human being. But the human being cannot follow the guidance unless Allah guides him, gives him the hidayah. So they recognize that, and when they do evil, they recognize the evil is from their own self. They said what? رَبَّنَا huh? يَا صَالِح ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged our own selves. What? وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you didn't forgive us and have mercy upon us, we'll be of the losers. They recognize that if they have done wrong, that's from their own self. They have wronged their own selves. And if Allah doesn't forgive and have mercy, we'll be of the losers. And when a calamity befalls them, they console themselves. With what? وَإِذَا أَصَابَهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, we belong to Allah, and to Him is our return. We belong to Allah. He can do with us whatever He wills. If He afflicts whatever He afflicts us with, that's His right. He is the master and we're the slave. Inna lillahi. We belong to Allah. To do with us whatever He wills. We're content with that. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we're going to return to Him. And we're content with that. That we're going to return to Allah. We are patient with what He has decreed. And we hope for His reward on the day of accounting. And this is the end of what we have covered in this course. We hope inshallah that it was of some benefit. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to have some food together and meet yani, one another. And some of us, we sat here for 18 weeks and we might know each other's names. We don't really know each other. Tonight, inshallah, try to meet somebody that you've seen here, but you don't know them. Even if you know their name, but you don't know them, introduce yourself and get to know one another. Inshallah, at this point, we just want to recognize those sisters and brothers who were very consistent, especially those who attended at least half of the classes, especially those who attended at least half of the classes. We want to acknowledge them, and we also want to give them a gift. We want to give them a gift. You know, that's our sunnah, that we try to give a gift of knowledge. As Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullah, who was one of the scholars from amongst the tabi'een, he narrated a hadith from Ka'b ibn Ujra. Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that Ka'b met him one day and he said to him, Ala uhdi laka hadiyatan. Yani Ka'b, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, shall I not give you a gift? Ala uhdi laka hadiyatan. Shall I not give you a gift? He said, Bala. Sure, give me one. Why not? And he said, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was Ka'b, the gift he gave to him. He said, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to us, and we said to him, we know how to make salam on you. Allahumma salli, ya ayyuhan nabi, tahiyyati lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, wa assalamu ala nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And either of the two narrations. We know how to make salam on you, but we don't know how to make salat on you. And the Prophet told him to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid, until the end of it. That hadith, yani Ka'b ibn Ujra, he narrated that hadith to Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. He said, shall I not give you a gift? He didn't give him a ring or a piece of gold or a new car, but he gave him a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholar said that Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullah, he was delighted, fariha, He was delighted with this wonderful gift. What? The gift of knowledge. And what could be better for you than knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the authentic sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have a heart to practice it, if you have a desire to act upon it. Because we know that knowledge, its benefit is in acting upon it. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. It is a proof for you in your favor if you act upon it. But it will be against you if you don't act upon it. So we have a gift of knowledge for our sisters and brothers tonight who have been consistent in attending the class. And we just want to acknowledge the effort that they have made. Really, tremendous effort over a long period of 18 weeks. So I have and attempted to bring a gift of knowledge that I think inshallah will be of benefit if whoever receives it reads it with care and then tries to act upon it. I wanted to, but for the sake of time I won't tonight, but I wanted to read quotation from this book just to let you see how wonderful it is. It is a book, Mas'uliyat Talib al-Ilm, The Responsibility of the Student of Knowledge, written by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Tremendous, tremendous advice from Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. The responsibility of the student of knowledge. And from what he said in this book, is that one of the responsibilities of the student of knowledge is to be sincere to the knowledge that has been given to them. To act upon it. And to call the people to it and to share it for the benefit of the Muslims. But to live by it and to reflect it in their action and in their character, in public and in private. This is a responsibility. And every one of us is a student of knowledge, whether we want to be or not. Because this is an obligation on a Muslim. Talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. It's obligatory on every Muslim to seek knowledge. So every one of us is a student of knowledge. It's just that some of us are lazy in seeking knowledge. And some of us are not.